About 2 years ago, we had a man come through our church, and he challenged us as a church to adopt a country to pray for. Pray for them to be able to be reached, pray for folks to be raised up and for God's word to go out, in addition to our normal missions endeavors that we have as a church. And so we began praying, Lord, would you have a country that you would specifically want us to adopt, to pray for? And there we have a missionary we already supported in Sofia, Bulgaria, Brother Jeff Shergalis and his wife, Grace. And he was at our church on furlough one time, and he mentioned some countries around his area, and one of them was Macedonia, North Macedonia. And the Lord touched my pastor's heart, and we began praying and officially adopted that country as our church's special prayer point about a year ago.
Amen.
And we were able to go take a trip, and when we first started, we didn't really know of anybody doing a work there. We found some folks, and we went on a trip trying to figure out who was there, who we would be able to work with, and we were able to pass out some tracts and be in some church services and hear God's word preached. And it was really exciting. On a Sunday night, we were able to listen to a man preach that was led to the Lord as a teenager, and now he was able to preach in a service there, a Bulgarian man, and it's full circle. And what a blessing it was to see. The missionaries you all support that are out there doing a work, pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for consistency, because that missionary, he's been there for 20 years, Brother Jonathan Owens, and now seeing fruit that'll remain.
Amen.
It doesn't happen overnight, but man, God sure is good for those that are faithful.
Amen.
God is sure good for those that are faithful. But pray for North Macedonia, pray for the country, pray for wisdom as we schedule a trip here next year to take a team to help try to strengthen the church in Radovich, and also try to be the best help for the folks there, and be able to be an encouragement and help with training and raising up. I believe God wants to do a work there. There's many that are lost. There's a heavy Catholic and Muslim influence there, and a lot of folks need Christ.
Amen.
And pray for that country. It was a blessing to be there. I'm glad that we were able to make it and be here this evening with you all. Thank you, Pastor Ross, for the opportunity to preach. I appreciate that. It was about 10 years ago that y'all first started seeing me pop up around here at services. And y'all had the look. I remember specifically Brother Nathan on a Sunday morning at Sunday school. He had the look of dress shirt, tie, don't know him. Uh-oh. I saw it on your face. And he had every right to be concerned and worried, but he's learned that since. But I found myself becoming infatuated with one of the young ladies that grew up here and was influenced by so many of you godly people that are here this evening, and some that have already crossed over into heaven's shore that have influenced the lives of my wife, Rachel. And this church and the people who make it up have helped my life and ministry for the better through staying faithful, because my wife has helped me. Without my wife, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing. I wouldn't be able to be where I'm at. People say we have a nice family. She is the nice, and I'm there to make it part family. But I married up, and I know I don't have to convince you all of that, so I'll keep on moving on. But God is good, and I want to thank you all who helped influence and take time investing in the lives of young people.
Amen.
It's never a waste of time for young folks. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. We're going to start reading in verse number 10. What a blessing the special was this evening. What a blessing that is. Thankful for a pastor who's willing to stand on the front lines. Never take that for granted. The targets on his back, the attacks that he has, are far more than we would ever know. And I appreciate you, Pastor Ross. I appreciate you. You're a blessing and encouragement. Proverbs chapter 24, let's read and start in verse number 10. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times, and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. And let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this evening, begging, asking, seeking your face. For Lord, I am nothing without you. Lord, I pray that you would take these next few moments. Lord, I pray that you'd help use and fill me. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be strengthened, encouraged, and challenged through the message this evening, Lord. Thank you for the freedom we have to hold your Bible. Thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the strong stand it's had on your word. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us this evening, help keep this church strong on the old paths. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Hey.
Amen. We see here in Proverbs chapter number 24, in verse number 10, where we started, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." You know, we have a generation of young people today that are growing up that are weak. A lot of weak young people that are growing up today. They don't want to do anything that is hard. They'll do it if it's easy, but as soon as adversity comes, well, it's not for me. If something gets hard, then they come up with an excuse and they quit. 50 years, we're celebrating this church being here. 50 years. This church has stood as a beacon of light to the surrounding area. Over 30 of those years, as was mentioned, either Pastor Ross or his father have been the under-shepherd leading this church on the old paths. Let me tell you, what a blessed testimony that Pastor Ross has in this community and with this church, and I'm very thankful to be able to be here this evening. Pastor Ross, I'd like to ask you, have you ever faced adversity, though?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the 50 years of the church, in the 30 years, no, of course not. Hey, anytime you're going to do something for God, the devil's going to fight. And if the devil's not fighting you, I'd question, are you doing something for the Lord? The devil fighting you doesn't mean that it's bad. It means that he's mad about what's going on, and that should encourage you to continue on. Hey, of course you're going to face adversity. It's part of it. More than ever, if you're going to serve Christ today, you're going to face adversity. You'll only do something for God if you're willing to continue on through that adversity, though. You're never going to do something for God if you fail and you faint at that time of adversity. You want to do something for the Lord? You want to say, hey, yes, I want to serve the Lord until a tough time comes. No, you have to continue on through if you're going to serve the Lord. In the verses we see here, God is encouraging the reader that if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Hey, we need to have strength. We need to continue on. We need to make sure that, hey, we're going to face negative times in our life. There's going to be difficult days.
Right.
There's going to be times that we won't be able to see a way through, but we must not give up. There's going to be times we find ourselves struggling, and there might be times that we fall, but we need to make sure we get back up and keep on moving on.
Amen.
I want to talk this evening about falling down but not staying down.
Amen.
Falling down but not staying down.
Amen.
It's one thing to fall. We're going to fall. It's another when we stay down.
Right.
It's another if we say, hey, I'm going to give up. It's another if we say, hey, it's too hard, I'm not going to continue on.
Come on now. Come on.
We see here, if thou faint in the day of adversity, fainting, feeble, to sink into dejection, to lose courage or spirit. Now, to faint is the opposite of being punched in the face and being rendered unconscious. To faint is seeing or experiencing something so negative that your body lapses to a state of unconsciousness. Sometimes it's shocking news will cause someone to faint. Sometimes the sight of blood for some people will cause people to faint. Now, for me, blood doesn't really bother me. I'm actually keen to it. I like keeping some on me at all times, actually. But for some folks, the sight of blood, it is game over. blood doesn't really bother me. I'm actually scheduled tomorrow to pick up some chickens that I'm going to butcher in my front yard and watch them do the death dance and then fry them and eat them and enjoy them. And it doesn't bother me. I make sure I have Hannah out there, and she's been out there as we whack the heads off so she can experience the blood splurting everywhere and realize, hey, it's part of life. And it's not just you go to a grocery store and it magically appears. But that's another message for another day. But seeing blood, some people see blood and it is game over. It doesn't really bother me so much. You know, you kill a deer and you go into there, you start gutting it, you go reach in through the innards and you cut the jugular so you can pull out the lungs and all the guts. And it's nice and warm. It's always those cold days when you're hunting. And nothing like that warm blood of that carcass to warm your hands. It's always amazing. Hey, at least y'all are awake. At least you're awake tonight so far. But hey, blood doesn't. But I realized I have a shortcoming. Well, one of my shortcomings. My daughter has a cat that lives at my house. Correction, lives outside of my house. And this cat, for some reason, decided to go get in a fight with another male feline recently. And came back, and as any concerned you know, pet parent, we, after a month and a half of it not healing, took it to the vet. But you've got the flap of flesh hanging off. The skin, matted blood, grass and hair. What? Anyway, it was disgusting. And my wife, I was holding it because it's my daughter's cat. She loves it. So, and I realized that I started feeling all of a sudden the queasies. Of course, after a month and a half, it was rancid. But Rachel, she was pulling out, and I decided, you know what? I don't always need to be the hero. And in my humility, I allowed my wife to be the hero and to help take care of Hannah's cat. Because I want to be a blessing. I didn't want to faint. I didn't want to have an issue. I don't know why, but man, it got to me. I was like, this is not good. But man, shocking news sometimes can cause people to faint. Sight of blood can cause some people to faint. Now, it's not the blood or the shocking news that knocks you out. It's your body that gives out when you're put in that circumstance and in that state. God here is encouraging the reader that when you face a negative day or a hard time, when you find yourself struggling and everything is falling apart, don't faint, don't give up. You might fall down, but get back up and stick in there and keep moving forward, because you're not defined by if you fall, you're defined on if you stay down. You're defined on, hey, we're going to make mistakes.
Right.
Adversity comes to all of us. We're all going to fall sometimes. We all fall short. Now, shocking, I will mention tonight, I am not perfect. Wow. But there was one young lady that's sitting here this evening that about 13 years ago, she thought I was perfect. Bless Rachel's heart. Boy, did she learn. But man, when we were dating, she was very willing and eager to look past my shortcomings. We all have shortcomings, don't we?
Right.
We all have faults, don't we?
Good for
I'm grateful that even after we got married, and then she quickly realized that, no, I am in fact not perfect, but far from it, she's still putting up with me. That's a miracle in and of itself. That next month will be 10 years ago since Rachel and I, right over in that building, exchanged our vows and promised our lives to each other.
God bless you.
And what a blessing she has been as an addition to my life.
Hey.
She's willing to look past some of my shortcomings. If you're going to make it in marriage, you don't always have to be right. You don't always have to be willing to explain why you're right, even if you are right. I'm still learning that one. The loudest laughter. Amen. But hey, we're not perfect. Man, do you ever find yourself frustrated at not being able to be exactly who or what your spouse needs all the time? It can be easy in the day to lose focus on what is important sometimes.
Right.
I don't know, or maybe it's just me. Sometimes it's easy for me sometimes to lose focus instead of focusing on what she needs, what is needed by someone else. Why? Because we're selfish people. Let me rephrase that. I don't want to make you feel bad. I'm a selfish person, and maybe some of y'all here tonight are as well, if you're honest. But hey, for the sake of the family, which God has given me, we must determine not to faint. Why? Because there's a lot of marriages today that are crumbling because someone, they had a fight, they fell down, and they said, hey, we're going to give up. They went into it with a decision that, hey, if it doesn't work out. I remember I had a coworker one time. He said he was getting married. I forget where it was at. It was in another country, one of the tropical areas. And he said, I want to make sure that it's legal American ways. That way, if we ever want to get divorced, we can. And want to make sure, not that we're planning to, but I need to make sure that it'll be easy to if we need to. Hey, that's the wrong mindset going into it. If it's the mindset of, hey, that's not an option, you got to realize, hey, I might fall. By the way, in my marriage, there's times I fall. There's times I fall short. There's times I don't fulfill the expectations of what I need to. But that doesn't mean I give up. That doesn't mean I say it's over. There's too many folks that say, hey, it's done, it's over, I quit.
Right.
God's looking for some people with a backbone.
Amen.
I tell the young men at my church, hey, we'll say, hey, I want to be a man of God. But before you can be a man of God, you've got to be a man.
Right.
You've got to have a backbone. God's looking for someone willing to stand even when it's not popular. God's willing for someone to say, hey, I'm going to do what's right for right's sake, even if no one else is going to. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24:16, it reminds us that a just man is not one who never falls, but rather one who gets back up when he does fall. Now let me tell you, God is not promoting messing up and intentionally going astray, but it is saying that, hey, I'm glad my God is a God of second chances. I'm glad my God isn't a God of saying, hey, you messed up once, you're done for. Because guess what? We live in a sinful flesh. We live in a sinful world. We're going to fall. Why? Because Satan looks at everyone that's going to do something for the Lord. Young people, he's looking at you and says, oh, you decide you're going to do something for God. So guess what? Look at this shiny thing that's over here.
Right.
I went to a Christian school. There was a lot of kids in the Christian school. Of my classmates, not all of them are in church tonight. You see firsthand out of the youth group, everyone that's there, everyone who has the visual aspect of being on board, but yet you can't see the heart.
Right.
And they're not all still going the same way that they were seeming to go at that time.
Right.
Why? What happened? Some adversity came, some difficulty came, and they fell and said it's hard and said it's not worth continuing going on. And they quit. They gave up. They fainted. They failed. And they stopped fighting. Listen, men and women, we can't stop fighting tonight. We have to continue on. Why? Because there's a real devil.
Right.
We've got to continue fighting. Why? Because there's a real hell.
Right.
Why? Because we must continue on being a witness, being a light.
Yes, sir.
Some folks, they'll see you. They might not come to this church, but they'll see you. They'll listen to you. They'll hear you.
Good.
If you've ever been out soul winning,
good.
You'll have talked to some people that say, hey, I used to go to church, but you won't believe what that pastor did.
Right.
I'm never going back to church now because fill in the blank.
Right.
How sad it would be. Now, is that shallow? Yes, that's shallow. But how sad it would be if your testimony lead someone away from the cause of Christ. We never think about that because at the time we're so righteously indignant on our stance. But folks are watching us. Young folks are watching us. Folks out in the world are watching. What are those crazy folks doing with a tent out there all week? What? I've got to mow my grass. I've got to do this. I can't give all week going over there. What in the world is going on? Or maybe they say, hey, there's a joy that's there. There's something different. Hey,
come on.
What is that? What do they see through our life? Remember 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, I'm not talking about going around and just punching and whacking on people just for the sake and fun of it. You know, I'm not saying like you see someone like Brother AJ and just be like, ha ha, boom, you know, because why not? No, I mean, hey, going and just beating up on people, that's not the good fight.
Right.
We're not supposed to fight amongst ourselves, amen, amongst our brethren.
Amen.
But that's what the devil a lot of times tries to get us to do. Why? Because I'll go and I'll see my faults shine through in Brother Nichols. You know, ever notice that? Sometimes the biggest frustration you have at other people, it's something that you struggle with as well.
Right.
And I'll see that and I'll be like, I'll get mad at him because of his faults, which are actually me seeing my faults in him.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
That's good.
And you know what the devil says?
You're right.
Got him.
Right.
Got him.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we're on the same team.
Amen.
We're going the same way. From California to Indiana to Kentucky. Guess what? The Bible's the same. The truth, God's Word is the same across this country, across this world. Where we're just over in messages in Bulgaria and Macedonia, and we're hearing the Word preached.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's people across this world that are searching, that are looking, that are in need of a Savior.
Amen.
We need to make sure we're fighting the right fight. We need to make sure that we don't fall down in a battle against our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Instead of fighting the devil and all of his tactics.
Yes,
think with me back to the children of Israel when they came to the battle of Ai. This is after Jericho. After that battle they had won. In Joshua 7, we see that story. We're not going to turn there for sake of time. But remember, God had promised victory over the Canaanites back in Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. The living God would without fail drive out the Canaanites from before them. They had then gone to Jericho, and we are very familiar with the story of the walls falling down. And then they come to Ai, a lot smaller of a city. But you remember what happened with Achan? You remember what had happened? He had stolen some money and some garments. Thus bringing the wrath of God. And yes, God had said he wanted to deliver the Canaanites, but he cannot bless sin. And they say, hey, we're just going to take some of the people because Ai is small. It's going to be an easy battle. It's going to be an easy victory. And they went forward, and what happened? They failed. Joshua chapter 7 verse 5, the Bible says, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. The hearts of the people melted, melt to faint with fatigue, fear, or grief. The hearts of the people, they melted, they fainted. They thought they had it in the bag. They thought they could do it. Have you ever tried to fight a battle against the devil or this world, and you kind of forget the little important part about making sure you're doing it God's way, and you try doing it on your own strength? Have you ever done that? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I have. Here we see the children of Israel. Oh, we just had Jericho. Ai. Ah.
That's right.
Get humbled real quick.
That's right.
We can get humbled real quick. Why? Because it's the power of the Lord.
Right.
Well, we have the strength and the power. It's not us. It's not you. It's not me.
Right.
God's looking for someone who's willing. He's not looking for someone who's got it all together. Praise the Lord. He's looking for someone who's willing. Why? Because he can mold us. He can guide us. He can lead us. He can grow us into who he wants to use us. We see the heart of the people, they melted. They fainted. It's been said that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Oh, how the devil hates it when someone with a backbone decides to live for the Lord. When someone who's stubborn, I tell a young man, I'm not against you all being stubborn. Being stubborn is actually a good thing. We just got to make sure we mold that. I want someone who's stubborn to stick with the King James Bible. I want someone who's stubborn to stick with the old paths. I want someone who's stubborn to stick with going to church. I want someone who's stubborn to say, hey, midweek services are still important.
Yeah.
Hey, let's be stubborn to say, hey, I'm not going to stay down when I fall. I'm not going to stay down when the going gets tough. When Satan gets a battle, victory, I'm not going to say it's over and give up and quit. Why? Because we don't have enough warriors to just give up. We need more people coming up. Too many people are falling by the wayside and saying, it's too hard, it's difficult, and they're quitting. We must stay and stand strong and continue moving forward. We need to keep pressing on. One way to keep pressing on is we need to remember our goals and refocus towards the prize.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory, prayer for spiritual strength. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep pressing on. Keep pushing forward, fighting through the resistance with maximum effort. That's what we need to do for the cause of Christ this evening. You see, too many Christians today, they seem to get offended when they face any resistance
right
when applied to a task. Oh, if God's a God of love, then why am I facing some resistance when I live for Him? Brothers and sisters, we cannot fulfill God's will if we only strive when it's easy. We cannot fulfill God's plan if, when adversity comes, we give up. Hey, adversity comes. We need to press on. There's going to be problems. We need to press on. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be trials. We need to press on. Our strength should come from the Lord. We can continue to press on when God is our strength, when He is the one that we're leaning on. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, the Bible says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. When we can notice the ultimate ability of God's strength. When is that? When do we notice God's strength? When is it very evident?
Right. Come on.
In times of trouble.
Amen.
When is it that we can realize by leaning on the arms of our Savior and He can carry us through? It's times when we can't stand on our own. When we can't make it by our own power.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
We say we want to believe that God is powerful and able. Yet we don't like to go through the times of being able to realize it firsthand with our life. But my God is able. The God of the Bible is able. And He wants to strengthen us. He wants to help us if we are willing to do things His way.
Amen.
Giving up and staying down is a sign that we must have been operating in our own strength rather than in His strength.
That's right.
For He is all powerful.
That's right. That's good.
I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easy for me to lose focus and start trying to do things in my own strength.
Right.
I don't know about you, but sometimes the devil likes getting a victory and trying to get us confused.
Amen.
Right. Off of what the main task is.
Amen. Right.
We're going to face times when we fall.
Yeah.
We're going to face times when it's difficult. But we can't give up. We can't allow that to be the definition of our testimony.
Right.
You know, there's times also when people fall and would rather faint than get back up in the fight. There's times when we fall and we become disappointed in ourselves. So frustrated that it says, hey, I fell. Is it worth even getting up and moving forward? You ever feel like just throwing in the towel? Maybe due to being embarrassed or ashamed of your shortcomings? Hey, I tried going soul winning before. Let me tell you, if you've never been cussed at for giving out a gospel tract, you've not been going out enough. If you've not had someone take it and throw it down and say, that ain't for me.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Come on.
Some people say, hey, I've tried it before, and there's a lot of churches in our area. They say, well, it just doesn't work in this area.
Yeah.
How many places across this country, Pastor Ross, have you been to? And they say, well, brother, we used to, but you know, in our area, it just is not as effective.
Come on now. Come on.
He's heard it. I guarantee it.
Yep.
He's seen it.
Yep.
Some people would be in this area and would say the same thing.
You're right.
Why? Because it's difficult. It's hard. But does that mean because it's hard we give up? No, we shouldn't. Think with me about Samson. A man of great strength, yes. But also great weaknesses of his sinful flesh. Samson fell for an ungodly woman, Judges 16:4, the Bible says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. By the way, let me just throw this in there. Don't be surprised when you get influenced by the ungodly if you go looking in the wrong places. Young people, if you want someone that's going to be a godly spouse, you better go to someone who's going to church.
Right.
You go to someone who's not in church, let me tell you, they're not going to help draw you closer to the Lord. They're not going to help move you forward in what the Lord has for you.
You're right.
If you don't want to go to Linton, don't go south on 59.
Right.
There's a lot of people, they complain about, man, I'm in Linton. But yeah, I started going south on 59.
Come on.
What did you expect to happen?
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of people, well, I think if I become like them, then I can help influence them for better.
Yeah.
You're going south on 59.
That's right.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way. We've got to be careful. Samson, he was in the wrong place, going after the wrong thing, listening to his flesh. Too many things don't go God's way, then they complain. Samson, he was doing things his way. Samson failed in God's perfect will for his life. He fell. Is that the end of Samson's story? Samson made some mistakes. He didn't faint, though. He didn't give up. He messed up, but he didn't give up. Judges 16:28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. At this point in time, Samson, he has lost his eyes. He is bound. His hair has been cut. His strength is gone at this point, and he is being mocked and made a fool of. Why? Because he fell. There's consequences to falling.
Yeah.
That's why God's not saying, hey, you can fall and get back up. No, there's consequences.
You're right.
Young person, if you decide to run off and do your own thing, it won't be the same.
That's right.
It doesn't mean it's over, but it won't be the same.
That's right.
I praise the Lord that I was able to grow up in a Christian home.
Hey.
Neither of my parents grew up in Christian homes. But I was able to grow up in a Christian home. One generation different. Hey, guess what? You might have not grown up in a Christian home, but you can create a Christian home. But let me tell you too, much is given, much is required. I was able to grow up in a Christian home, and I want my young kids to be able to grow up in a Christian home. What a blessing it is for them to have grandparents that love the Lord. You're going to love your family, but man, what an extra blessing it is to have grandparents that they can sit next to and say, hey, I'd love it for you to be a Christian like your papaw, your meemaw. Some people who've been in this church from the beginning, they've served, they've worked. Do they want a pat on the back? No. They'd rather be in the back shadows.
Right.
And I respect that because that's someone I can look to. And I can say, hey, does that mean they're perfect? No. Does that mean they haven't fallen? No. But that means they've gotten up when they've fallen. And they've continued on. And they've pressed on and said, hey, I'm not going to get down just because something didn't go right. Just because we might have made a mistake here or there. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to press on. I'm going to get up and move forward. Why is the church here after 50 years?
Come on. Good.
Because there's some people who says, hey, not everything in that 50 years has everything gone perfect. Not everything's gone to plan, I'd say.
You're right.
Do we pack up shop and go home? No. The devil wishes that folks would do that. And by the way, there's some churches in our country today that are saying it's too hard, it's too difficult. And we need some folks willing to come stand up and say, hey, I'm going to press on. Samson here, he had made some mistakes. He fell down. But then we see his prayer there. Lord, only this once. How sad it is that Samson's testimony was one that was more was done through his death than during his life.
Yeah.
Imagine what God wanted to do. Imagine what God's plan was. Hey, I'm thankful of the way the story ended. I'm thankful that God used him. But imagine what God wanted to do.
Yeah, right.
I want God to use me now. I dare say that God wanted to use Samson a lot more during his life than Samson's choices allowed God to use him.
That's right.
Judges chapter 16, verse 28. We read, it said, and Samson called unto the Lord. And the end of the verse, it says there, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one which is right with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He fell, but he didn't faint. He didn't give up. Did it affect his ability to serve the Lord? Yes. But hey, if you're still alive, God can still use you. God can still have a plan for you. Dear friend, maybe you've made some choices in your life which Satan has grasped some victories. It's not over. It's not done. Maybe you're only here right now this evening to keep up a front. visually, for those that are sitting around you, of still being on the front lines for the cause of Christ. But internally, you're dead spiritually. I don't know. I can't see your heart. That doesn't have to be the last chapter of your story, though.
Amen.
That doesn't have to be the end. You may have fallen, but don't faint. Don't give up. It's not over yet. Samson, he was able to continue on. Think with me about Jonah. Jonah, did he make some mistakes? Did he fall? Yes, he was fleeing. The exact opposite. A different direction. And then what happened? He went to Nineveh. They repented. Well, God, why aren't you going to kill them? Isn't it so easy sometimes to lose focus on what's important in the midst of a battle? But Jonah, he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He continued on. God used him. Hey, God can use a person who has failed if they'll just decide not to quit.
Amen.
Now, that's not to say that it's the perfect way if you fall. But it's saying, hey, you can still be used. Don't make provision for failure. Enact safety barriers to help keep you headed in the right direction.
Right.
Young person, be thankful if you have a parent or a guardian or some leadership that puts some boundaries up to help put some walls of protection around your life. By the way, young people, if you get mad about some boundaries and you say, hey, well, it's not sin to go past it. Well, it may not be. You should be okay with having some boundaries on the safe side. There's too many young people that says, oh, well, it's not sin to go there. It's not. But you're a lot closer to the edge. You should be thankful if you have some people willing to help put some boundaries, some safety barriers in your life to keep you farther away, to keep you closer to the main path. It's a hard issue. Now, if you're sitting there thinking proudly, man, you know, I've never failed at anything. He said he has, and I know some other people who have, but I've not. You know, there's some people who actually believe that. There are. Dear friend, can I suggest the fact that if that's you tonight, you've probably never tried to do much of anything.
Come on.
That's right.
Because if you try to do something, you're going to fall, you're going to fail. Has Pastor Ross ever failed at anything? Sure he has. He fights the same flesh that I do.
Right.
He lives in the same world, sinful world that I do. Does that mean he's impervious to the battle against the devil? No, but hey, he's learned to encourage himself to get up.
Right.
To keep on fighting. Why is the church strong? Because we've got a fighter for a pastor. We've got a fighter who says, hey, I'm willing to go to battle against the devil. I'm willing to go to battle against compromise. I'm willing to go to battle against those who say it's not that important.
Yeah.
Falling down, but not staying down. Sometimes other people will fail and disappoint you. It's inevitable. Think with me real quick to Moses and Aaron. Moses goes up to get the law. He's gone 40 days. What happened during that time?
All
right. Got impatient. The assistant pastor, Aaron, thought he had things under control. Oh, the assistant pastors that just, you know, what happened? Moses up there and God is mad. He is hot and tells Moses, hey, I'm going to end it. Moses couldn't see what was going on. God, but what'd he do? Moses stood up for him without seeing or knowing what was happening when God was wroth and ready to end it and said, I'll start new.
Yeah.
Moses was willing to stand up for him without knowing what was happening.
Yeah.
God repented of it. And I think it's so funny. And then Moses comes down and then Moses sees what God already saw. You know how thankful the children of Israel should be that Moses didn't see what was happening at the same time that God knew what was happening? Because then Moses was right where God was at just a little bit ago of saying, man, throwing down those tablets. What are you doing? He was mad. He was angry. And I believe rightfully so for seeing how quickly they had left the cause of God, how quickly they had brought their jewelry, made the statue. And then said, the statue is who led us out, built an altar to it, worshiped it, dancing, rock music, worldly, sensual, sinful. What happened? Moses saw that. He was angry. But then I want to read what he said in Exodus, down in chapter 32, verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin." He's not excusing their wrongdoing. He's admitting it. But he says, "And have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Yeah. Moses is a better Christian than I would have been. Because you see, I'm willing to forgive those that deserve it. I have a tough time forgiving people who I feel don't deserve it. Do y'all ever find yourself like that? Man, if they deserve it, then I'd forgive them. But man, this idiot bozo. Moses is willing to stand up. Hey, they've fallen. Well, I want to help them get back up. I don't want to kick them down. I don't want to say it's over for them. I want to continue fighting for them. Are we willing to help fight, to strengthen our brothers and sisters? Hey, someone fell. Can you believe what happened? Or maybe we can pray for them. Because, hey, the chapter's not over for them. What about if we leave an open door for them to come back to? What about for when they realize that the way they took wasn't all as amazing as the devil made it seem, and they realize, hey, I'd like to come back. I wonder if they'd have me. What about leaving that door open? Moses said, hey, blot my name out if you won't forgive them. Hey, yes, they failed. I'm not excusing their sin. I'm not excusing. We need to get some things fixed and right. But hey, I want to fight for them to get back up, to continue on. People are going to fail you. Aaron failed Moses. People are going to fail you. There's people not in church tonight because someone's failed them, so I'm not going to go to that church anymore. How shallow is your faith if it's dependent on someone else? There will be times when you fail yourself tonight. Sometimes other people will fail you. But let me tell you, dear friend, God will never fail you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." God cannot fail us. But oftentimes when we feel things have been unfair, maybe we should look at ourselves, our past issues, our misgivings. Maybe we are hindering the blessings of the Lord. Maybe, just maybe, we have fallen short. Many times people will blame it on God's not being fair. Some people tell me that, and it's like, wait, you're not even going to church, and God's not being fair to you? That's like going up to the vending machine, not putting any money in, and expecting to all of a sudden just receive stuff. But I want it. I can see it. God wants to bless us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. It's kind of like the guy who tried farming. One day he went out, he dug some holes, threw some seeds in. Next morning he comes out bright and early and goes, "Well, this must have been a waste of time." Hey, it takes more than a day. If we're going to serve God, it's going to take more than one decision during a revival service. It's going to take implementing some day-to-day decisions moving forward. Why? Because the devil doesn't just fight us once. The devil just doesn't just say, "Oh man, now he got saved, game over." The devil continues to fight. The devil wants to continue going against those that want to live for the Lord. We're going to have moments when we get knocked down in the fight. But we should strive to get back up when we fall down. Oh, if we'd only be willing to swallow our pride and decide not to faint when we fall. To decide that we're not just going to lay down when we get knocked down. Friend, don't give up when the going gets tough. For when you're close to God's power, when you're close to breaking through, that's when it's going to be most difficult. Why? Because the devil sees what is happening and doesn't like it when anyone lives for the Lord. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 27, verse 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Amen.
This verse is not meaning to idly wait by, but rather as a waiter comes and waits on you. What else can I do for you? Lord, what do you have for me to do today? What is it you want me to do now? While I'm waiting for more direction, what is it I can do to serve you today for right now? Hey, we need to be willing to wait on the Lord. I don't know about you, but I can get impatient sometimes. I'm patient as long as God does things in my timing. And He doesn't. Actively serving and actively praying are necessary aspects to continue on in the fight and stave off fainting. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's definitely a correlation there. If we're going to not faint and we're going to fight, and we're going to continue getting on and getting ourselves up when we fall, we've got to have a strong prayer life. We've got to have a decision that, hey, we're not going to allow ourselves to get brought down just because something was difficult. Dear friend, where do you find yourself in the Christian journey tonight? In the battle that you're facing this evening? Let me remind you, it's okay to fall. It's okay to fall short of where we should be. But it's not okay to not get back up. It's not okay to faint and give up on what God has for us to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Let me tell you, I serve a Savior who is all-powerful, who wants to give me the strength to continue on. Am I willing to put my faith and trust in Him to continue on?